If you have a Bible with you tonight, please turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Now, it is good to be with you tonight, and I'd like to thank the Reverend Higginson for the kind invitation to come along again this evening and to preach the Word of God. And that, of course, is my privilege. What a privilege it is to preach the precious Word of God. Now, it's good to see so many in tonight, and I know that many who are in are saved. And I pray that God blesses the message to your heart. But the message is not so much for you tonight. The message, as I said last Monday evening, is for those in the meeting who are not saved. So if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, I want you particularly to listen very carefully to the message, because there's a message here from this portion of Scripture for your heart and for your soul. Now, this is a familiar passage of Scripture in John chapter 14. Every time you study the Word of God and read the Word of God, and I hope even if you're not saved, you take the Bible down and you read it, you should ask yourself three questions. And if you get an answer to these three questions, it'll help you to understand more fully the passage of Scripture that you're reading. Now, the three questions are these. Who's doing the speaking in the passage of Scripture that you're reading? Who is the person speaking to in the passage of Scripture that you're reading? And what is the person speaking about in the passage of Scripture that you're reading? Now, if you can get an answer to those three questions, as I've said, it'll go a long way for you understanding the passage of Scripture that you're reading. Now, let us apply those three questions to John chapter 14. First of all, who's speaking here? Well, when we read the passage of Scripture, we learn very simply that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that is doing the speaking. Now, that's very important, because everything that the Lord Jesus Christ said, he said it in truth. He preached the truth at all times. Every time the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, he spoke as God manifest in the flesh. So what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say here is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, on this occasion, in John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Now, when you study the earthly life of the Lord Jesus, there's times when he spoke to the Pharisees, times when he spoke to the nation of Israel, times when he spoke to individuals like Nicodemus and the woman of Samaria and many other individuals. But here, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And as the Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples, what is he speaking about? Well, on this occasion, the Lord Jesus is speaking about heaven. Now, again, throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke on many different topics. And before the end of the meeting tonight, we look at another topic that the Savior spoke about in his earthly ministry. But here in John chapter 14, the Savior is speaking. He's speaking to his disciples, and as he speaks to his disciples on this occasion, he is speaking about heaven. He's speaking about heaven. Now, as the Lord Jesus speaks about heaven here to his disciples, he teaches his disciples three things about heaven. Three things about heaven. And very simply tonight, at least at the beginning of this message, I want you to learn here, if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, I want you to learn what the Lord Jesus taught his disciples about heaven. Now, first of all, he taught his disciples in John chapter 14 that heaven was a real place. Now, I wonder, if you're not a Christian tonight, if you're not saved, do you believe that heaven is a real place? Do you believe that there is such a place called heaven. Because here the Lord Jesus, as he speaks to his disciples, he tells them that heaven is a real place. Just look with me very quickly at John chapter 14 and the verse 3. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. If I go to prepare a place for you. The Lord Jesus is speaking here about heaven, and he's very simply declaring and teaching that heaven is a real place. You know, heaven is as real as cool rain. Heaven is as real as tundra ghee. Heaven is a real place. Now, I know sometimes when heaven is spoken of, some people think that heaven is only a fragment of the preacher's imagination. Sometimes people just think that heaven's just like a fairy tale land. But my friend, it's not. Heaven is a real place. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked upon this scene of time, he taught that heaven was a real place. Now, heaven's a wonderful place, and we haven't got the time tonight, nor am I going to take the time to turn to other portions of Scripture and show you the type of place heaven is, for we haven't got the time. But one of the most familiar passages of Scripture that reveals to us what heaven is like is, of course, Revelation chapter 21. And when you go home tonight, you take your Bible down and read Revelation chapter 21, and you'll read there about this wonderful place called heaven. There's no crying in heaven. There's no tears in heaven. There's no sorrow in heaven. There's no pain in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. Heaven is a place where the Lord Jesus Christ dwells. Heaven is a place of sinless perfection. And what a wonderful place it is. And I pray tonight that even in this gospel meeting, as you are gathered here, if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, I pray that you will begin to think about heaven as a real place. Heaven is a real place. Now, there's something else the Lord Jesus teaches his disciples here about heaven. And this is of the utmost importance. And I want you to listen very, very carefully here. Now, the message is a very simple message. And that's the way I want to present it tonight. I want you to understand every word that I'm saying, and I want you to understand every word that Jesus taught here in this passage of Scripture. Because it's so important, my friend, that you see and you understand what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here in John chapter 14. He taught this. Not only did he teach his disciples that heaven was a real place, but he also taught his disciples that heaven was for a prepared people. Look what it says in verse 3. And remember who he's speaking to. Who did we say here that the Lord Jesus was speaking to? We said here that the Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples. Now, who were the disciples of Christ? The disciples of Christ were those who had been saved, those who had trusted Christ as their Savior, those who were born again of the Spirit of God. And this is what Jesus says in verse 3. Look what it says. I go to prepare a place for you. Now underline that. That's very important. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. So who was the Lord Jesus going to heaven to prepare a place for? To prepare a mansion for? For his disciples. For his disciples. Those who had trusted him as their own and personal Savior. Those who had followed him. Those who had been redeemed for time and for eternity. Now again, we haven't got the time to study the whole passage out. But if you study this passage here, you will see that Judas Iscariot was not among the disciples when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words in John chapter 14. If you read John chapter 13, I think it's verse 30. Judas Iscariot leaves the company of the disciples. Leaves the company of the disciples, because you've got to remember that Judas Iscariot, although outwardly he was a disciple of Christ, he never had trusted Christ as his Savior. Judas Iscariot was never saved. Judas Iscariot was never a true believer. Judas Iscariot was never born again of the Spirit of God. Jesus said on one occasion, "Have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil?" And indeed, John chapter 6, you read John chapter 6 carefully, and you'll find there in that portion of Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, and it's very, very clear what Jesus said. He said this, that Judas Iscariot was an unbeliever. Judas Iscariot was an unbeliever indeed. Take a look at John chapter 6, just for a moment, because it's very important that you see this. Because there in John chapter 6 and verse 64, Jesus said this, and remember, he's speaking to his disciples, "And there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him." Who was it that betrayed Jesus? It was Judas Iscariot. And notice there in verse 64 how the Lord Jesus links unbelief with the one that would betray him. Unbelief. Judas Iscariot never believed and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. Therefore, Judas Iscariot, when he died, he did not go to heaven. The Lord Jesus was not promising Judas Iscariot a home in heaven, a place in heaven. Judas Iscariot was not one who was prepared for heaven. Because when the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples in John chapter 14, Judas Iscariot had already left the company. Indeed, you read Acts chapter 1, and you will read there that Judas Iscariot went to his own place. And that place was hell. And we'll say more about that just in a moment. But the point I want to make is that heaven is a place for a prepared people. Now let me ask you this question tonight. As you're gathered in this gospel meeting, are you prepared for heaven? Are you prepared for heaven? If heaven is a real place, and heaven is only for a prepared people, that means that everybody's not going to heaven. Isn't that the logical conclusion? And indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his public ministry, made it clear that there were many who were not going to heaven. And he spoke to many who were not prepared for heaven. You see, men and women, the truth is this, that everyone is not going to get into heaven. Everyone is not going to get into heaven. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus, of course, was a religious Pharisee. And yet, at the point when the Lord Jesus spoke those words to him, he wasn't born again. He wasn't saved at that moment. He wasn't ready for heaven. So going to church will not save you. Being religious will not save you. Being an upright citizen will not save you. And while all these things may be good in themselves, they will not bring a man to heaven, and they will not save a man's soul and bring him to glory when he dies. That's why it is imperative. That's why it is so important for you to be prepared for heaven and for home. I wonder tonight, as you're gathered here in this gospel service, are you prepared for heaven? Can you say 100% that if you died right now, it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord? Do you know? Do you know 100% sure? Are you sure that if you died right now, that you would go to heaven? My friend, that's a very serious question, and you need to answer it seriously within your own heart and within your own soul. Now, I know I speak to people, and I'm sure that Mr. Higginson speaks to people on a regular basis, and we talk to them about their soul salvation. And we'll say to them, well, are you saved? And are you ready for heaven? You know the question, how that question is answered, mostly. It's answered like this. Well, I hope I'm going to heaven. I hope I'm going to heaven. I wonder if I was to go down and ask you personally and individually, are you going to heaven? Are you saved? I wonder, is that what you would say to me? Well, preacher, I hope I'm going to heaven. No, my friend, you've got to know that you're going to heaven. The Christian, the child of God, knows that he's going to heaven, because when God saves a man, when God redeems a man, he gives him assurance. And the Apostle Paul, all the Christians in the Bible, all those in the Bible who were born again and saved by the grace of God, they all had this wonderful assurance before they died. They knew they were going to heaven. The Apostle Paul said that he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. John could say that, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. John knew he was going to heaven. Peter knew that he was going to heaven, because Peter said that he was born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And Peter could say that he had an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Even the psalmist could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Those are all words from God's people, and they all had this assurance that they were going to heaven. So none of them said, I hope so. They all could say, I know so. So the question tonight is, do you know so? Are you prepared for heaven? Are you prepared for heaven? Now, there's something else here. You say to me, well, preacher, how do I prepare for heaven? How can I be sure that I'm going to heaven? Well, the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14, as he spoke to his disciples on the subject of heaven, he not only told them that heaven was a real place and that only prepared people would get into heaven, but he told them that there was only one person that could bring them to heaven, and that was himself. Because in verse 6, this is what Jesus said. Look at it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My friend, you want to prepare for heaven? Come and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You want to be sure of going to heaven? Come and put your faith in the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Christ. There's only one door into heaven. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, referring to Christ, because neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, you can get to heaven, but you must come to Christ in simple faith. You must believe on him and accept him as your own and personal Savior. Let me ask you this. Have you ever, in childlike faith, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him into your heart and life as your own and personal Redeemer? My friend, that's how you get to heaven. You bow by faith at the cross, and in repentance and in faith, you come to Christ. And I would exhort you this evening, come to the Savior and put your faith and trust in him. And even this night, you can begin your journey to heaven. I'll never forget the night when I was saved. I was only a boy of 13 years of age. I couldn't have quoted two verses out of the Bible. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I was brought up in a very ungodly home. My father was a very heavy drinker. My mother had no time for the gospel. But I was invited along to a meeting, just a meeting like this, and hearing the gospel, realizing I was a sinner, realizing that Jesus died for me, realizing that he would save me if I called upon him. That night, as a boy of 13, I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, and I cried unto him, "Oh God, save me. Save me now." My friend, the Lord saved me that night. And the Lord will save you tonight, and he will prepare your soul for heaven and for home. And he'll do it right now. Oh, heaven's a real place. It's a real place. But it's only for a prepared people. And it's only through the person and the work of Jesus Christ whereby you and I can be sure that we are going to heaven when we come and trust Christ alone for our eternal and everlasting salvation. Now turn over to Luke chapter 16 for a moment. Now who's speaking here? The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to his disciples again, but also on this occasion, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, are listening to Christ. What is he speaking about on this occasion? Well, he's not speaking about heaven in Luke chapter 16. Here the Son of God is speaking on a different subject. He's speaking on a different topic. What's he speaking on? What's the subject this time? This time he's speaking about hell. This time he's speaking about hell. My friend, let me tell you tonight, if you're not making preparation for heaven, you're making preparation for hell. If you're not making preparation for heaven, you're making preparation for hell. You say to me, "Preacher, you mean if I don't go to heaven when I die, I go to hell?" That's exactly what I'm saying. Indeed, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here in Luke 16. Now, again, we haven't got the time to go into all the story because my time is almost up. But you read this passage of Scripture, and the Lord Jesus tells a true story about a rich man. This rich man died. And the Bible tells us, let's just take a look there at the end of verse 24. And you read these words. And it says this, or verse 22 rather. "The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments." Here the Savior reveals unto us that while there is a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun. Men and women, let me say lovingly and tenderly to you tonight that there is a hell to shun. The question that many people are asking tonight is this: is there a hell? Anyone with any knowledge of the Bible at all want to know, is there a hell? Is there a literal place where men go if they die without Christ and are lost forever? Is there such a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? Is there such a place, a real place called hell? You know, the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons will tell you there is no hell. The modernistic preacher today, he'll tell you there is no hell. But is there a hell? There is a hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he walked upon this scene of time, not only did he preach about heaven, but he warned about hell. And here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, he is speaking on this subject of hell. What does he teach about hell? Now, we haven't got the time tonight to go into it, but let me point out just one thing at the very least. The Lord Jesus Christ in this portion of Scripture teaches that hell is a real place. Take a look at verse 26. Look what it says. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now here we have the rich man speaking here. The Lord's telling the story. But as he tells the story, he tells it as that is spoken of by the rich man. This rich man went to a lost eternity. And this rich man testifies here, as the Lord Jesus tells this story, that hell is a real place, lest they come into this place. You know, where is hell? Did you ever think about that? Where is hell? Well, every time you read about hell in the Bible, you read about souls going down to hell. You never read of anybody going up to hell. You go up to heaven. And when the Lord Jesus ascended up to heaven in the book of Acts, the Bible tells us that he ascended up to heaven. And his disciples watched him as he went up through the clouds. And as he went up through space into heaven. Heaven, of course, is beyond this universe. And you go up to heaven. But you go down to hell. You see, the rich man here, he lifted up his eyes in hell. My friend, I believe there's a place, a real place, in the very center of this earth. In the very center of this earth. And the scientists would tell us that the hottest place on earth is the center of this earth. I believe there's a place in the center of this earth that's housing at this very moment all the lost souls of men and women. And when the rich man died, he went further down than the grave. Oh, his body was put into the grave. But his soul went beyond the grave, right down into the caverns of the damned, and was lost forever and forever and forever and forever. And as you and I are gathered together in this meeting tonight, and this is the solemn thought, as we're gathered in this gospel meeting tonight, the rich man that we read about in Luke chapter 16, he's still in the torments of hell. Hell is a place of pain and torment. Hell is a place of memory and remorse. Hell is a place where prayers are never answered and messages are never sent. Hell is a place where the soul is lost for all eternity, because in this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches about a great gulf that is fixed. A great gulf that is fixed. And once a soul goes out into hell, there's no escape. Because it's lost forever and forever and forever. What a solemn thought. You say, preacher, how do you make preparation for hell? You say you have to make preparation for heaven. You come to Christ, you trust him as your Savior. When you die, you go to heaven. How do you make preparation for hell? Well, I'll tell you how you make preparation for hell. You just do nothing. You just neglect your soul's salvation. You just reject Christ as your Savior. You just do nothing. You continue in your sin. You live for sin. You reject the gospel. You reject what the Bible says. And then when you come to die, your soul will end up in a lost eternity. Forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. The Lord Jesus Christ said this on one occasion, fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The Bible teaches this, that hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. Just think about it for a moment. The moment you die without Christ, rejecting him as your Savior, once your soul, that immortal soul that you have, leaves your body, hell will open up. That's what the text is teaching. Hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. My friend, what a solemn thought. At the end of the meeting, let me ask you this question again. Are you making preparation for heaven? Or are you making preparation for hell? Oh, I urge you, I plead with you tonight. Make preparation for heaven. Thank God your body's still out of the grave. Your soul is still out of hell. You're in a gospel meeting tonight. And in this meeting tonight, you can come and find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. You can be saved tonight. You can be saved in the seat that you're sitting in. You can be saved and know. Listen, wait behind in this meeting. And I'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved and how you can know it. I'll show you from the Bible how you can know before you walk out through that door tonight. How you can be sure that you're going to heaven. I'll show you it from the Bible. But my friend, you need to take that step. You need to take that step of faith. You need to take that step of faith tonight. Because the Bible says that you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to accept him as your Savior. The Bible says, for as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You've got to come. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he'll give you rest tonight for your soul, and save you, and prepare you for heaven. Let us all pray.